Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your host, Kat, and your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah and Kat.
I heard this story from Michael Feinstein, who was also a great friend of Marshall Bauer's. Michael told me that Marshall went to the publisher's office to get the rights to write lyrics for Antigua, and Marshall walked into the office and simply sang his lyrics for the publisher. And when he was done, the publisher looked at Marshall and said, "You probably know. Where can I get some acid?" That's true. So here's Marshall's Alice in Wonderland a la Jobim. And I like to imagine that it was written in the Infinity Room.
I'm all alone in a place I have never been. I see a door to a garden and wander in. And though my journey has barely begun, I am spun like a top to the top of the universe. And high in a spiral of ice, I gaze upon the scene that flickers far below me. And what I see is a crinkle of colors and sound. Colors and sound. I can hear tinklings of crystal, and I can see sparkles of mist on the spangles, and I can feel tingles of tangles and sprinklings of angles and inklings of angels around. A rabbit crosses my path unexpectedly. I hear a sigh of despair as he passes me. I have a feeling that rabbit is late for wherever he's going. Whatever he's headed for is my destination. Oh, show me the way to stay here in this world, because here's where the right things happen. Oh, baby, here's where the good things are.
I'm all alone in a place I have never been. I see a door to a garden and wander in. And though my journey has barely begun, I am spun like a top to the top of the universe. And high in a spiral of ice, I gaze upon a scene that flickers far below me. And what I see is a crinkle of colors and sounds, colors and sounds. I can hear tinkles of crystal, and I can see sparkles of mist on the spangles, and I can feel tangles of tangles and sprinklings of angles and inklings of angels around. Our very special guest today is Maud Maggart. She's an American cabaret singer, a recording artist, one of my favorite new artists. Check her out if you're at home. You can check her out on maudmaggart.com. It's maudemaggart.com. Okay, so Maud was born and raised in New York City. She began her singing career in West Hollywood at Tom Rolla's Gardenia, the legendary cabaret and launching pad of her mentors, Andrea Marcovici and Michael Feinstein. Since her cabaret debut in 2001, Maud has gained a loyal following and critical acclaim, performing in cabarets and theaters across the United States and Europe, notably her longtime yearly engagement at the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel in New York City. I hope I pronounced that right. I haven't been, but I've got to go. And I've got to go see this show. I hope you get booked there again soon. Maud has been featured and a featured performer in a multitude of orchestral performances, including the Oregon Festival of American Music. Led by legendary bandleader Dick Hyman, Michael Feinstein's concert series at Carnegie Hall, oh my God, Standard Time, and the national live radio broadcast, one of my favorites, of A Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor. And she's been at Town Hall in New York City, at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. Welcome, our very special guest, our very talented musician who is sharing her new album with The Jeremiah Show today. I want you to stay tuned to the very end of the show. We're going to play her new single that will be released soon. And that's The Rainbow Connection. I have never, and I honestly mean this, I have never heard a better rendition. And you've got to check it out. You can only hear it here, and you can't get it anywhere else right now. So, Maude, thank you so much. Maude Maggart, welcome to The Jeremiah Show.
Thank you, Jeremiah. I'm very happy to be here. It was a beautiful introduction.
We're so happy to have you here. And, you know, we opened with, I was reading the Michael Feinstein lyrics there for Lost in Wonderland, and we opened the show with that song as well, which is a new one from your new album. Let's talk about, I wanted to kind of do this a little bit backwards, and I hope you're okay with that. Talk about your, maybe your teenage years as an artist and a musician. And then, well, let's end. Let's kind of jump around. Let's go to your adulthood. Kind of like we're in Wonderland. We're lost in Wonderland with Maude Maggart today, and we want to go on a little journey and get to know you. Okay. How would you describe yourself as a teenager? Were you outgoing? Were you reserved? Were you shy?
I was a good girl and a snob.
Okay. How describe that?
I thought that other teenagers were doing, I mean, I had plenty of friends. It wasn't anything about like that, but, I was very judgmental of kids who did things like, when I was a teenager, they would like sit on stoops, like drinking 40s and, you know, like these were like privileged kids who had much better things to do with their time.
Stoops and they were like my brownstones.
Manhattan. Yes. Okay. Manhattan. Yes. So, and I just chose to stay home with my parents most of the time on the weekends. So,
so you were a good snob, a good girl snob, meaning that you shunned the bad influences.
Yeah. I just thought, what a waste of time, you know?
Yeah, you were already.
I mean, the company was great to keep, but you didn't need to combine it with like looking like a moron. So,
So what were you doing instead?
I don't know, hanging out with my parents and watching movies and reading, the Mists of Avalon.
Oh, that's a good one. I forgot about that. Yeah. Is snobbery like a gateway drug at your house where you it leads to something else, movies? Book.
Actually, yeah, like my mom takes the cake. She's the biggest snob I've ever met.
We love you, Mom.
Yes. Yes. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, happy Mother's Day. Whoops.
Well, that kind of leads to my next question, and just wondering, just curious about you, and because you really don't have, and I wanted to hear, we're going to hear about, hopefully you'll tell us, like an online social presence, which it must be a choice. And, but I want to hear about this development, this staying home with your parents, watching movies, reading books. Were you more interested always at a young age with hanging out with older people that met your intellect and you could learn from or converse with differently than with kids your age?
I think it was more that I didn't cut myself off to having friendships with adults or, you know, people like my grandparents' age, just like, you know, kids my age would sometimes do, like, they're old. Why would you want to hang out with them? Mm-hmm. And it's like, why wouldn't I? They know so much and they've been through so much. And what do you know? but yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to deny myself anything based on what people around me were telling me to do or saying was cool or whatever.
you come from a very, and I was going to get to this at the very end, but you come from a family that of performers, a long line of of famous performers in cabaret. And I mean, you tell us a little bit about that family and what that, what they were like. They sound very interesting. They must've been so interesting to hang out with.
Yeah, they were. Well, I'm the only cabaret performer, but it started with my maternal grandparents. My grandfather was the reed man in the Harry James Orchestra. And he was briefly their lead singer right before Frank Sinatra took over. And my grandmother was a dancer in the George White Scandals, which was a revue that was similar to the Follies.
It's in your blood.
Yes. And then so and my grandparents met in the Johnny Hamp band, which was like a smaller version of Harry James. And my grandmother was the girl singer, the only girl in the band. Of course, in those days, you wouldn't have any musicians in the band who were women. So they met there and fell in love and had my mom and divorced. And then my mom went on to become a dancer. She was in the she was a June Taylor dancer on the Jackie Gleason show.
Wow.
And then she was also a beautiful singer. She sang Maria in West Side Story at Lincoln Center. And she met my dad in the original cast of Applause. My dad had come to New York from Tennessee. As he puts it, he fell off a turnip truck and rolled onto the streets.
And he was
dusted himself off and just started knocking him dead, performing. Huh?
He sure did. Well, in reality, he had won the Grace Moore Operatic Award in Tennessee, and that brought him to Manhattan. And he thought he was going to just take the town. And he said on his first audition, he was standing in line and heard all these other singers and went, "I'm toast. I have to know how to do something else." So he became more of he did a lot of musical theater. Was nominated for a Tony for Applause. But he became mostly a comedic actor, and that led him to Los Angeles, where he did a lot of television and did movies and left his theater days back in New York. So my sister and I grew up with a lot of music around the house and obviously a lot of theater. And we saw my father in a lot of productions, including a burlesque revue, which was a real eye opener for an 8-year-old.
Wow.
But I loved it. It was great. And I thought all the women were so beautiful and so talented. And it was really old fashioned burlesque, though, like slapstick. My dad was the top banana. And the only part that bothered me was where there was a scene where he was getting beaten with these like foam clubs. But all I saw were people beating my father on stage. And so that was the most disturbing part of that experience. Not the, you know, semi-nudity or anything like that.
Yeah.
Does that image still haunt you? I mean, did you yell out like, "Dad?"
No, I suffered in silence and wept quietly in my seat.
Aww. Did you know that it was reality? And I guess it's probably hard to see your dad in that situation no matter what.
Yes. You could literally see the bats bending because they were just foam. So I knew it was fake. But just the idea that someone would beat him was so intensely disturbing to me and so sad.
So after your father scarred you.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's
Day. Really batting a thousand.
Get it all out here. Let's not go into a new year with any of this.
That's right. This is therapy.
I'm really curious about this. And since we're talking, we'll talk a little bit about your teenage years here and where so many things imprint on you and opinions are formed that you have for a lifetime, some good, some bad, some right, some wrong. Well, I know I'm older than you, but we're probably, all of us really kind of grew up with not the social media the way the kids have. Mm-hmm. Everybody has social media now where it's glued to one of their hands and they're online all the time and everything's posted. I first have to say that I'm jealous of you because it doesn't look like you follow you bend to what everybody else is doing, where they're just, to me, it's so much work, and it's so intrusive to living. Why are you, is this, it's kind of like a rite of passage, I think, now and for kids. And why don't you have a lot of social media presence? I'm just curious. Is it a choice? Does it help your focus, your creativity? Is it just something that you just refuse to really do a lot of?
Well, I do wholeheartedly agree that it's a time sucker. If you're on everything. But I understand that it's a necessity for, you know, building your business and working. And truthfully, if I had more work, I would probably be much more present in social media. But in reality, I've played the gardenia in the last few years. But I mean, I got pregnant with my daughter like 4 years ago. And before that, the last big New York job I had was at Cafe Carlyle. And then my jobs at the Oak Room at the Algonquin, that room closed in 2011, 2013, I can't remember. And so I've done shows at the Gardenia, but, you know, it's not, and then the pandemic hit. So, you know, it's not like I'm promoting a lot of stuff, and I'm not somebody who will like, I really appreciate seeing pictures of like beautiful food and stuff, but I'm not somebody who would post something like that myself and, you know, just like share all my thoughts in the social media way. So I like to use it to promote whatever I'm doing, but just to be on there all the time is, it's too much of a time sucker, I think. Now of course with my little girl, I don't want her to see me on my phone all the time.
And, yeah.
You know, I certainly don't want her to be on the device.
I know it's a little bit of an odd
question. Necessary.
It's a different question, but I actually admire you for it. And I almost have the feeling that you want to know more about an artist that you can't, they don't share it. That's almost like an integrity, or it drives you towards what you do more. Like I listened more. I wasn't distracted by looking around your social media. I was listening to you and your music and really fell in love with it. I'm going to say that 100 times.
Thank you.
So this time in your life, was there something that imprinted on you that you carry forward in your life daily, consciously? Anything at that time, the time with your folks, the talks, the arts, the movies, and the culture? Anything that you carry on that you want to pass on to your daughter?
Well, there's one answer to that. That's not something I want to pass on to my daughter. Yes, what I would want to pass on to her is to be quiet and to listen and to really feel with the fewest amount of disruptions as possible, so that you can learn concentration, focus, and the ability to feel all sorts of feelings, and then to be able to translate those into whatever form of work she chooses in her life. Because emotion goes into any kind of work that you do. If you're a scientist, you're passionate about your discoveries and your studies. Obviously, if you're in the fine arts, similar to performing arts, where you're expressing your own sort of vision, your own take on something. I guess in terms of, I sing a lot of torch songs in my work. My own parents got divorced, and then I grew up with a wonderful stepfather, but their relationship ended too. So during all that time, when I was spending time with my mom and my stepfather, when I say my parents, I meant, you know, I would stay home when I was a teenager and spend time with them, but their relationship was collapsing. And I talked with them a lot about it, which was probably not the healthiest thing to do, but that was very interesting to be on the... They didn't really hide anything from me and my sister. And my sister actually wrote a song on her first album called Carry On, And it's about the decay of a relationship. So I think that the two of us have in us this understanding of how when relationships go wrong, what happens, and that there are hurt feelings on both sides, and that it's more, it's not one sided, and that we're all human. And
Did that help you in your relationship and with your family and starting a family? Do you think the insight, that insight at a young age and the maturity, I don't know if it's a bad thing for the parent to, that they were that honest with you. It almost feels like that might have been, that might be good. Not, I think.
Well, if I gave you the
fears come from people not share, you not knowing, right? And not knowing the fear.
No, I think, I mean, especially when children are a little older, like teenagers, they should be aware at least of what's happening. I don't think parents should hide something so huge from them. But however, if I gave you a transcript of things that they said, you might feel a little different.
I might write a song about it. I don't think mine would be a hit, though. All right,
yeah.
Rod, we got to take a quick break. I'm sorry to cut us off right there. It's getting so good
getting
with you.
Good.
Not just like the music. It's the great conversation with Maude Magart. And the new album is, can we tease people? I also want to tease the listeners.
Please.
Don't forget, at the end of the show, we're going to play a song that you can get nowhere else by Maude Magart. And it's her new single that we're going to play in its entirety at the end of the show, Rainbow Connection. Never, ever have heard a better rendition. You have to listen to this. It's just, you might end up crying in your car, though. Just be aware. We'll be right back with Maude Magart.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journeying over the meadows and the rain to a blossom covered lane, and in your lonely flight
Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah. You're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City for nearly four decades. Going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like the Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We're talking this entire hour with this artistic, beautiful vocalist, Maude Maggart. So welcome back to the show, Maude. I wanted to read something here. A rabbit crosses my path unexpectedly. I hear a sigh of despair as he passes me. I have a feeling that rabbit is late for wherever he's going. Whatever he's headed for is my destination. Oh, show me the way to stay here in this world, because here's where the right things happen. Oh, baby, here's where the good things are. And we are where the good things are right now. We're with Maude Maggart. Welcome back, Maude. Adulthood. We're talking about your life now. What's it like since the pandemic? You haven't performed for a bit. Nobody has, really. But you've got a new album coming out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So it's a new release of a recording that I made at the Oak Room at the Algonquin years ago. But we made this recording and I've just been kind of sitting on it for so long. And I always loved it. It was just this one late show on a Friday night, started at 11:30 at night.
I love the reviews, you know, of it too, the description.
I'd already done, I don't know, seven shows that week, maybe? No, six. But it just, something magical happened in that one performance. So we just used that one late show. I just thought it was really good. So we just, I brought it to Dave Way, who's a master producer and mixer, who's done many, many amazing, you know, like Grammy Award winning albums. And he helped me. He cleaned it up and we did it. And I really only did it because I had booked a show at the Gardenia and we made 100 copies of it. And I sold, you know, most of them. My ego was a little hurt that I couldn't even sell 100, but
I'll buy 100 for you. We'll get them sold.
Okay. Let's put me down for them.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You got two out. Now you got 98 to go. Yeah. Dr. D, well, 97.
I'm good. I'm good. Yes.
So the next step is digital release, though. So I am joining the modern world that way.
There you go.
So,
Well, I chose a lot of these songs that we put in the soundtrack. You sent me the new album, and unfortunately, we'd already loaded some songs I chose from on Spotify, so people could hear, they could go and actually hear the music in the soundtrack. However, there are two songs that no one's heard that were from this magical night, this session, late night session. It is so cool. We opened it up with Lost in Wonderland, and you have a neat story about that I wanted you to tell, if you could. But oh my God, the storytelling, I mean, just you tell stories and you almost feel like you're in the smoky club in a basement in New York City, just listening in on something special.
Well, you that's where all those stories were all, except they weren't smoky.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It feels like that kind of martini dark,
no,
you know,
you want it candle. To feel like that.
Yeah.
So Lost in Wonderland is a composition. It was originally called Antigua. It's an Antonio Carlos Jobim composition, one of his most beautiful. And the lyrics are by Marshall Barer, who wrote the lyrics to Once Upon, he wrote some of the music too, I think, to Once Upon a Mattress, the musical that launched Carol Burnett's career. Mm-hmm. And he wrote that musical with Mary Rogers, Richard Rogers' daughter, and Adam Gettle's mother, who wrote Light in the Piazza. So Marshall Barer was a real character and a family friend of ours. He was a good friend of my father's. But he was a real character, and he was in love with Brazilian music. And he heard, he listened to Antigua, and like most people who listened to it, they fell in love with the melody. And he wanted to write lyrics to the song. So what he did was he took the flute solo and just wrote words to each note of the flute solo, which is not meant to be sung. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because it has all these wacky intervals. And but the content of the lyrics about this Alice in Wonderland sort of theme is something that Marshall knew a lot about, because he was a big fan of hallucinogenic drugs and other drugs, but that opened up his mind. He really was someone who was highly functional on drugs. Mm. So it was an interesting personality to be around, and he certainly was prolific and really a beautiful, beautiful writer.
Mm. What a neat story. And yeah, and you tell a little bit of the story there at the beginning of when we open this show here. I'm also reading, when we come back from break, the lyrics. I'm one of the reasons I listened to that song so many times last night is I tried to get your cadence and the way you deliver it. I'm totally butchering it. I should have had you read this, but listen to
no,
the song.
You did
such a great, great job. All right. We're with Maude Maggart. We'll be right back. Go to maudemaggart.com and download music. Check her out. There's a lot of good stuff on there. We'll be right back after the short break.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, E Vuole Questa Musica Stasera. And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it. And it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Dreams of you, I'm Zeke Cam.
And I'm Taylor Morden, and we made the...
I'm Zeke Cam.
And I'm Taylor Morden, and we made the movie The Last Blockbuster that you can get from Blockbuster Video on DVD Blu-ray combo at Ben...
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series. Bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We're here with Maud Maggart, who is not only a beautiful singer, but she's also a mom. And a fairly new mom. I think technically having a 3-year-old makes you still a new mom. Heck, I have a 14-year-old and I still feel like a new mom sometimes. So talk to me about motherhood. Talk to me about how has it changed you artistically? It changes one drastically. From an artistic piece, how have you seen that kind of influence who you are?
Well, I don't think about the sad songs so much anymore, which is kind of like missing a lover or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it was interesting. We were watching Daniel Tiger just yesterday.
I know Daniel.
Yes, I'm sure you do. And it was the episode where Daniel's sad and his father says something like, "When I'm sad, I sing a sad, sad song. And then I feel better." Something like that. And I was like, how does Daniel's dad know that? You know, like that's pretty intense, you know, like, but yeah, I mean, when you're sad, you like to listen to sad music. A lot of people do. I've built a whole career on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's influenced me musically so much, except I can see even more of the simplicity in songs and music, because of course you have to break down everything for such a young mind to be able to absorb and like understand. And it's almost like in dance, when you go back to the bar and you do first position and you do a plié and you do a tendu and you realize like, oh yeah, everything's based on this.
Yeah. The fundamentals, the foundation.
The fundamentals. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. If you met someone who had never heard music before, how would you describe music to them? Kind of probably a little bit similar journey that you're having, you know, with your daughter in a way. Like how are you tackling that concept of music?
Well, if I were to describe it, I guess I'd say something like, this is a new language that you're going to hear and realize that you always knew. It just needed to be shown to you. I forget who said this, but there's some famous quote that says something like, music is the artistic outlet that lets you discover something that you've already known inside.
Yeah.
It's not everyone gets it, but where does it come from? to you? How do you do what you do? Is there a way to describe it? How it channels and comes through you and we absorb and admire and feel emotion?
Well, I like to, I guess on a really simple level, I choose songs that I feel that I can technically sing well, or, you know, my best that I can do. And once you have that technical aspect down and you feel confident in that, then you can wrap your creativity around how do I express it on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how. I didn't take classes or anything like that. I took voice lessons for a while, but I don't know. I think it probably goes back to being able to understand very adult themed emotional concepts at an early age. And then trying to comfort people who are going through emotional pain. So I think that comes through in my ability to you know, sing sad songs and make you feel better.
Well, there in the Rainbow Connection that we're going to play in its entirety at the end of the show, I could feel that. Another reason I listened and re-listened, there's and I can't pick out specific spots, but when the listener hears it, they'll know. Well, your voice, so you pull from emotion, you pull from things that have affected you, and you're able to put that out as an instrument, a vocal instrument. And then by that way, we feel it through you. But those are emotions. My question is that come from you from things that you've experienced and things that you've learned through life.
Sure. I mean, there's no way you can get around it coming through, but I never conscientiously try to make that happen. It's really mostly about sound to me, because sound is so powerful and can lead you in the direction that you want to go without having so much intention behind it.
What are some of your favorite sounds?
That's my experience. There's everybody's got a different way to do it.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
What are some of your favorite sounds? Just maybe two or three.
Some of my favorite sounds. I love Stevie Wonder's music. I love the sound of horse hooves on the pavement. Wind.
Yeah. Wind through trees. I love that too. So much inspiration. Dr. D, I'm not sure. Do we need to take a break?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's take a quick break. Talking with Maude Maggart. She's a American cabaret singer, recording artist. Go to maudemaggart.com. It's MAUDEMAGGART.com. Lots of good stuff. Check out her music, and you're listening to all of her great music throughout this entire episode. The TGS Radio World Premiere is coming up soon. Stay tuned. It is Rainbow Connection by Maude Maggart. Be right back.
Hey, what's up? It's Carter Rubin. I was privileged enough to be crowned the winner of season 19 of The Voice. You can go listen to my music on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
It's so hard to understand. Don't know why it happened. Don't know how it started. How can we be strangers after all we planned? I can't show my face. Skips a beat.
Hi, you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. This is Zeri Romeo. I am a contestant on season 20 of The Voice, and you can catch me on all my socials at Zeri Romeo.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Hey, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Looking at this enormous butterfly, wondering if he cares to dance with me. Delicate as a flower carved of chrysophophrase. Idly I ponder, how far have I yet to find it? I've got to find it and act as though I've lost it. Otherwise, I'm lost in Wonderland. Mm. Welcome back, Maud Maggart, our very special guest today. We are lost in Wonderland with her. The new album is out. When, do we know when? This summer?
This summer, yeah.
This summer. And what's the title, the new album?
The title is Here Come the Dreamers, and that is a song that also has lyrics by Marshall Barer.
Which I've been reading throughout the episode here. I don't write poetry. Michael J. Feinstein is an American singer, a pianist, and a music revivalist. He is an interpreter of and anthropologist and archivist for the repertoire known as the Great American Songbook. In 1988, he won a Drama Desk Special Award for celebrating American musical theater songs. He is your mentor. He is your inspiration. When were you first inspired by Michael Feinstein?
Oh, certainly the first time I heard him at the Keys singing, and I think that was at Marshall Barer's house. He used to have these Sunday soirees at his home in Venice, California. And that's where I met Andrea Marcovici, who was also my mentor. But yeah, I was just so moved. I mean, and I had a little crush on him then too. That didn't go anywhere.
Like, for the record.
Yeah. Careful. I think your husband's out of the room there. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Oh, no.
Who's also, by the way, a very talented musician himself.
Yes, he is. No, my husband is great. I mean, there's another person. I heard him singing his songs at the Gardenia. And I approached him and asked him out because I was so impressed.
Hey, you.
You're bold, huh?
So I no love shit. That.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And what's your husband's name? Give everybody.
His name is David Lucky.
Oh, great what name. A great name.
Yeah, it's a great name, huh? So I'm Mrs. Lucky now.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think he's definitely Mr. Lucky.
I think he's
you Mr. asked
Lucky.
Him out.
Yeah. He's got.
Okay, we so both tell are. Us, we're yeah.
Yes. Good family. Good family. Mm-hmm. Very a lot of talent in your family.
Yeah.
Do you think your daughter will follow your footsteps at all, or the family business?
Well, she loves to sing and dance and tell jokes. So, what are the odds? I mean, whatever she wants.
Pretty good.
I hope she grows up to be a scientist, but you know, but you know, if it's in her soul, then that's what she should do. And she should express herself that way. Mm-hmm. So.
Michael Feinstein, what did he teach you? What is one, if you had to pick one lesson, you know, I'm sure there are many, but what has he taught you?
Oh, mostly about song interpretation, about taking your time and just serving the song and not yourself. because that's what our job is. Our job is to serve the memory of these songs that were written so long ago, most of them anyway, so that they continue to live. And you honor the songwriter's intention, and your only job is to give it new life and expand on their original intention without insulting what you imagine they would want to do with the song by disgracing it, by making it too personal. That's the only thing I don't really like, when people make standard songs too personal, where it takes you out of of the experience of the song and into their own psyche drama.
There you go. Do you recall a specific memory from childhood of hearing music for the first time and how it affected you?
Yes. I remember listening to The Divine Miss M at Midler's classic, fantastic album. And I listened to Hello in there, and it was so sad. I must have been 5 years old, and I played it on the record player, and I thought, there's a line that says, "We lost Davy in the Korean War." And I thought maybe that was like an outdoor market or something, and the little boy was lost. So that's one. You keep asking me all these memories, not all these like tragic, horrible, like damaging memories. I never realized. Oh, no.
No, thank you for sharing yourself. We're getting to know you. That's how you create this powerful vocal and voice in your instrument. And that's how where it comes from, all of these memories and these experiences.
You're right. Uh-huh. Yeah, we all go through that. Take those childhood experiences into our adult function.
Well, we're going to wrap. We're slowly wrapping up here, and I don't want to. I wish we could keep going, Maude. And yeah. I hope when the album does release this summer, maybe we can have you come back and we can really go through it and play all, and then as much as you'll allow us.
I would love that.
That would be great, and to really talk about that. The album and the lyrics and the people involved, the musicians in your group. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kat for her rapid fire question.
We're going to have a little fun. We're going to end this on a little fun note, happy note.
Okay.
All right. Five questions. First thing that comes to your mind. Okay. Number one, what is your kryptonite?
What is my kryptonite? Caraway seeds.
Got it. Number two. We could talk about it later.
Would have never guessed that.
It's the first thing that came to my mind.
I love it. Number two, what are you going to do right after you hang up with us? What's the first thing you'll do?
I have to go home to be with my daughter.
That's a good thing. Good mama.
Yeah. She's like, oh yeah, I'll go home.
Oh yeah, I have a daughter. Number three, what is the cutest thing on the planet?
The cutest thing on the planet is any baby animal.
Yeah, they're so cute. Then they get big and they're not so cute.
Baby hedgehog.
Yes. You should follow Our Planet Daily on Instagram. They have like the cutest pictures of animals. Anyway, number four, best compliment.
You got to get on Instagram first.
Best compliment you've ever received.
My late friend, the great songwriter Ray Jessel, just told me that he loved talking to me, and he thought I was really smart. And that was that was a big compliment. We're really good friends, but
when someone says that,
That's
good awesome. Conversation is the best.
Yeah.
And he was right, by the way. And he's a smart man.
Yeah.
Last one.
Oh no, I don't mean.
Last one. What scares you?
What scares me? Typical things that scare most women. You can imagine. But bears scare me. I don't like camping.
I will tell you a story.
I respect them.
I was confronted by an adult brown bear in Alaska and survived it and have done immense therapy because of it. So we'll talk about that after, but it's very real. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can finally now talk about it without crying. Yeah. because of therapy. It's insane. It's very real. So don't go to Alaska if you don't want to meet a bear. Like, just don't do it. Sorry, Alaska.
Or camping.
Alaska's tourism is going to fall, but it's gnarly. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Oh, my God.
Insane. All right, that's my rapid fire. So I didn't mean to steal the thunder on that one.
Dr. D, you've been so quiet. Do you have any questions before we go?
Well, I was just going to dovetail off of what Kat was just saying, that Alaska and Hawaii are joining together with a new ad campaign. If you want to see a bear, don't go to Hawaii. If you don't want to see a bear, no, wait a minute.
So this is not really a question. It's more of a statement.
It's a statement. That's what I'm saying. Dovetailing
ad campaign. Okay.
But let me ask you, Jeremiah introduced you and talked about you're doing cabaret. And I think of what cabaret is. How soon do you think it'll be before you'll allow your kids to attend your child?
I can feel confident that she won't disrupt the show.
Ah, in other words, so she doesn't steal the show.
Yeah, because that's annoying, you know.
It is, yeah.
Like, I love seeing kids in my audiences, and most of them are just so well behaved. And
wow.
I did one performance where it was not so great, but that was at the Venice Public Library, and that's another story.
Then you get their names. And you make sure
I think that one wouldn't go so well.
I've been to that library.
And just don't take her to a show where that someone is hitting you with a styrofoam bat.
Exactly.
Oh, God,
learn from your.
It could be a trigger. That could be a trigger.
Don't pass on. All right. It's been so much fun talking to you, and everyone has waited so patiently to hear on radio. First time on radio. Yeah, Maud. First time on radio by Maud Maggart, the Rainbow Connection. Mm. Enjoy it and get some tissue ready. Maud, thank you so much. We'll see you soon, hopefully this summer, with your new album.
Thanks, Maud.
Thank you all so much. I really had a great time. I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Great. We'd love to have you back. Listen more, communicate, and evolve. Everybody have a great week.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star. Somebody thought of that and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me, all of us under its spell. We know but I
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at www.facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Kat and Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
They were beautiful. The most beautiful.